All right, guys, welcome to the podcast today. Today we have a special guest on the show. Awesome guy. He's been out here in Chiang Mai ever since we've been out here, and it's really fun getting to know him. Welcome to the show, Robert.
Hello, everyone.
Yes, hello, Robert, and thank you for being on the podcast today. So we met here in Chiang Mai, and we've heard a little bit about your story. Can you tell us where you're from and what your background is?
Sure. First off, thank you for having me on the show. Super awesome. So for me, I grew up in southern New Jersey, and basically, yeah, my entire life, and then went to college. I was a Penn State grad, and then after graduating, right away, I moved to Philadelphia. So I would like to say I'm from Philadelphia because I liked Philly a lot more than southern New Jersey, but that's my roots. So more so from Jersey. And if I was to tell anyone, like, oh, I'm from this city in Jersey, everyone would be like, no, I have no idea what you're talking about. So Philly works. Like, you know, even Philly, people are like, really Philly? I'm like, come on, it's Philly. Like, you know, really? Like, how do you not know? Come on, do you need me sing the song? So, that's kind of, I guess, my upbringing story of where I'm from. Yeah, good enough.
Simple,
very simple, yeah.
Life is simple, right? No big deal.
So, how did you, like, when did you get into dropshipping, and, like, how did that all evolve?
So, I started in dropshipping basically from hearing Travel Like a Boss podcast. Yeah, so, honestly, that inspired me to get into that passive income stream. But before that, I had a whole other journey, I guess you could say, another business that kind of brought me into the idea of entrepreneurship. And from there, that's when I was like, okay, I definitely enjoy being an entrepreneur, like solving problems, being my own boss. So prelude to Travel Like a Boss, running my own business kind of got me into it. But dropshipping was definitely introduced from Travel Like a Boss, and then finding out about Anton's course, stuff like that. I mean, I think that's a lot of our journeys when it comes to the dropshipping world. Like, one leads to the other kind of thing. And then, that's for dropshipping, that's kind of basically how I got into it in that regard. And I did it for, like, probably, like, a year or so. And then, like, I was like, wow, I actually think I'm going to go and do this, like, full time. Like, I'm going to go for it kind of thing. Like, I literally just, that's why I'm here right now with you guys now at this moment. I just went for it. I quit my job and sold everything I owned, and, like, you know, all my friends are freaking out, and, like, I was like, this is possible. I can totally do this, like, and I'm doing it. So we're all here. It's great. Yeah, so Travel Like a Boss, onto Anton's method, and yeah, DSL.
How did you hear about Travel Like a Boss?
So after I got done with my first entrepreneurial journey, I kind of looked for ways to kind of spend my time. I can only play so many video games, so, like, you know, I like to be productive, and I like to make money. So, you know, what happens is you stumble onto Google by saying, like, ways to make money, and, like, you know, and then you find out about this word that's, like, this passive income, and I'm like, yeah, you know, and you're just like, okay, ways to make money online, passive income, and, like, this word comes up, passive income. I'm like, what the hell is passive income? And then, like, you know, you read Rich Dad Poor Dad, and, like, you know, Tim Ferriss comes up with 4-Hour Work Week, and, like, I think a lot of us go through this journey of, like, you know, these stepping stones, discovery, and then, like, so
that's like a trek. It's like climbing a mountain, you know, through the forest, and then you come out to the meadow, and then you see the lake, and then the little fawn and the deer are there, you know, the little dropshipping, you know, gnomes are there and stuff.
Yeah. So basically, that's
maybe,
exactly.
Maybe not as many gnomes, but yeah.
You painted. Trevor painted the perfect picture. I have nothing to add to that whatsoever.
Dropshipping gnomes. Yeah, I think it's a great idea. What got you started on the whole process of thinking about passive income and how to make money online in the first place? Was it because your past job, for some reason, like, wasn't doing it for you? Can you talk more about that past entrepreneurial experience you had?
So, okay, I'll get into, I guess, a bit more of my whole story prior to dropshipping and being here. So, I went to college to be initially a food science degree. Like, that was my initial, like, I'm going for food science. And honestly, it was because there's a reason behind this. Not like I was crazy, like, oh, food science. Like, I hated chemistry in high school, and I don't know why food science was like, oh, that's going to be a great idea. And the reason behind it is because my family owns a sausage manufacturing business. So we, like, my whole family, like, they distribute these, our, like, Italian meat products across the entire country. And, you know, because of that, I kind of had, like, a growing up, obviously, in this food business, I was like, how can I contribute to the family business kind of thing? That was, like, my idea growing up. And when I got into food science, I realized, wow, I hated chemistry in high school, and I still really hate it now. Like, I'm going to have to transfer it into business because, like, chemistry is not my thing. So once getting into the family gig, you know, I graduated with a business management degree, and I took on the role of kind of, like, just, like, working inside the plant facility, kind of getting their whole SOPs down, their standard operating procedures, kind of getting the flow down, understanding how stuff is actually made, the whole gamut of internal working of the warehousing and everything, logistics. And then I realized, like, this is all interesting, but I'm really more interested in like marketing. Getting people, why do people buy our product? Like, not only the psychological aspect of it, but, like, branding and getting into, like, how do we get into different stores? What's our selling points? Getting more into the sales side of it, marketing side of it. And at that point, I did this for, like, probably, like, eight months, I'd say, of working in the facility and, like, kind of getting the whole scope of things and whatnot. But during that process of doing this kind of mundane work that I did not like that much, because I was bored at work, it's like, oh, I want to start a business. So I ended up in college using this website that was ordering food online, and it was called lionmenus.com. And it was basically a prelude to Grubhub. So yeah, it was kind of like, you're hungry, you don't feel like traveling anywhere, and you know, you want food delivered to your house, basically.
Sounds like a startup. Like, yeah, classic, like, tech startup that's connecting people with food servers.
So this guy who started, actually, he was living in the dorms of fucking Penn State. Am I allowed to swear? Okay. Swearing school. I'm like, I was doing so good.
R-rated podcast. Like, you know. I don't think we've gotten this podcast rated yet, so.
Okay,
I think
cool.
Most people interested in business are above the age of 18.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe there's some younger people, but
it
might become more family-oriented later.
Okay. Like, oh, darn, I don't know if you have to bleep that out now. I don't want to make any more work for you.
He only said about half the words. So they can use their imagination.
So this guy, he started this franchise idea in the dorms of Penn State with the whole idea of, like, getting food to people's, basically, their apartments and whatnot in college. And he made an entire franchise model out of this, selling, like, the idea of what you do, like, hyper-local ordering food online. And basically, because I spent so much money, I was a customer for 3 years of my journey at Penn State, and I realized how loyal I was to it. I was like, I instantly contacted him, and I said, hey, are you, like, is this a franchise model yet? Like, what's happening? Are you guys getting involved with this? And luckily, lo and behold, they started a whole process. They had licensees, they had the franchise model built out. So I went for it. I basically went and withdrew a fair amount of money and, like, got some family members to give me money, and, like, you know, it was a whole...
You did a round of funding.
Yeah, I did a round of funding.
Kind of like, are you doing your own startup?
Yeah, I was doing my own startup.
Franchise of another startup. Yeah, very cool to see. Yeah, it's a great.
So yeah, I saw the problem that, you know, in South Jersey, where that was the territory I wanted to claim, because there was an up and coming college called Rowan University, and they were funneling so much money into getting more and more students, and, like, they were backing almost anything that would support the community. So I was like, holy crap, if I can get involved with these people, then, like, this would be fantastic. So basically, that's what I did. I took out all the money, started the whole franchise, and then I went and started trying to work with Rowan, in a sense. And that was a bit harder than I was imagining, because they're a private college. So it was a lot of hurdles with that.
So I want to throw something out there for the audience really quick. What Robert's talking about is key here. He's talking about having supply and having demand, and more importantly, having distribution. Mm. Rowan College is your distribution.
Exactly. No, that's exactly correct.
That's key to getting people into your sales funnels.
So, yeah, I mean, I knew basically my target audience already, because I was the target audience when I was at my college. So my target audience is just basically replicating what I remember getting hooked in, and then just producing it back to the demand back for Rowan. So yeah, I mean, my job at that point was like, I'd wake up at 5 a.m, I'd work for my family business until about 4 o'clock, and then I'd go and do my own business from 5, I know, I'd like eat, you know, because I have to eat at some time, and then like, you know, maybe power nap, and then like, you know, I'd go, and my job as the owner of this business was to basically go to restaurants and get them on board. So like, you know, get them on my site. And like, I would take a percentage of all the sales, kind of like that. Anyway, so it worked from like 5 to like 9 or something like that. So I did this for like a year and a half, 2 years straight. And you can imagine with that time schedule, I started to get burnt out. Yeah. I mean, shocker, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like I never would have knew that was gonna happen. Like, I guess this is like Entrepreneur 101, like don't burn out. Well, yeah, I failed that like miserably. Like I burned out really hard.
I think a lot of the times, like when people start up a business, they don't realize like how much work is involved, you know? Like the startup process of any business is just like 12 to 16 hours a day sometimes. It's insane, like you have to get that through your mind if you're going to start any business for you guys out there, that it's not going to be easy in the beginning. It's going to be a lot more work in the beginning. But the point is that obviously 6 months, a year later, most likely, if it's a good business model and you know everything is good and it's online and passive,
yeah,
it's a lot easier to run. But.
So basically, after about a year and a half, someone came to me as like a man of interest that was like saw what I was doing. He used to be a mayor of one of the cities, and he was like, "Hey, Rob, I'm not a mayor anymore. I am interested in what you're doing. Can I buy in?" So the guy ended up basically buying in, and luckily making me break even at this time.
How did you know this guy again?
So yeah, he was a mayor of a city that my family they have their business in. So like they were pretty tight with him, and I guess like my dad must have told him or something like that. Like this is what he's doing, and like he looked into it, and like he's an old mayor now, so he's like I'm bored.
Like it seemed like a cocktail party or something. Like hey, you know my son does all this cool stuff with the startups. Really? Well, that's something I'd be interested in.
So yeah, he came in and he basically funded my end of it. He bought in, and then he bought in even more when he wanted to like take over some of the business for me. At this point in time, I was looking to phase. I was looking to phase out a little bit, so it happened to work out for me. And yeah, I mean, long story short, he bought in, I walked out, we walked away from each other, and like, you know, now he owns the business. And I learned a lot about digital marketing during this time, how to use Facebook, how to get people to aggregate towards events, basically spending, budgeting, anything when it comes to social media marketing, I basically picked up because during this time of a franchise model, we had to spend a certain amount of money on advertising. And majority of, on an online business, you're spending a lot on online advertising, right? That would make sense, yeah. I mean, like, you know, so we did a lot of that. And I learned quite a lot when it comes to digging deep and pinching pennies and basically stretching those dollars, because in a sense, we were bootstrapping, I guess you could say. You know, we're not like rolling over here with like massive pockets, deep pockets, so. Yeah, we were bootstrapping.
I think though that bootstrapping has got to be like the number one best way to start a business, because you can test before you invest, right?
You're not sitting there blowing money and like just like, yeah, we'll just see if it works or not. Like, you know what I mean? You're really focused on like those CPCs, like making sure that like, you're stretching those dollars. Like we have this much money in our bank account right now. Like, you know, we have to make sure this $20 on advertising is going to go for over. We're going to get an ROI, ROAS, like a return on ad spend, like 5 times. Easy. So you're like, you're really paying attention.
Yeah, I think it's super true that you have the right incentives in place when you're bootstrapping to really work hard on your business, making your processes more efficient, not just going out and hiring a bunch of people, but actually doing it yourself at first, learning how it's done, maybe, and then going out and actually doing hiring the right way. Like you said, not just blowing a bunch of money, throwing money at people, you know, that aren't really have the right incentives, but actually hiring people on performance-based work as well as hourly-based, you know, hourly-based for like customer service, performance-based on like, you know, certain things that need to get done, like adding products to a site, for instance, where they don't really have the incentive in place to do that, so.
So for the food app, delivery app, right? Like what goes into that? Like can you give us like tips? Did you have like a huge team of people that were helping you? Was this like a one-man operation before you had the investor come in and help you out? Like what, how did that all work? Like for somebody that maybe is thinking about doing it.
Okay, sure. So before the investor came in, yeah, it was all a one-man operation. And actually I ended up getting some interns from the college to work with me because they were interested in marketing, and like they saw I was doing the most insane guerrilla marketing tactics like possible, and like actually I was getting a little bit of, I don't want to advise this, but like I was getting a little bit of ruffles with the college because I was doing I guess things that weren't happy about. Like, you know, I'd go and like spray paint like my logo, like not spray paint, like I'd use chalk spray paint and like all over the streets and the sidewalks and stuff like that. Or I'd go in like their classrooms and write my website on the board and stuff like that. So when 400 people walk in, they see my website. Like, you know, if I had like a big deal going on, like I would go and write it on like chalkboards, whiteboards, spray paint and like chalk spray, like just things that like. Maybe that like they weren't happy about, and I actually got contacted by them quite a bit, and like, you know, they weren't my best friends by the time I was walking away.
My janitors hate you.
But no, my janitors were my best friends.
No way.
Because I would, how did I get into those buildings, man?
Like, they had to clean it up, right?
Oh no, the teacher would come in. It would be like right before a class or something like that. I'd know, like, you know, I would make friends. Like, I'd have the interns. I'd be like, yo, when's the biggest class? It's like marketing 101, and they'd be like, oh, it's this time. Like, okay, go in there and write this. Each cheap week was like, you know, a big promotion, and then they'd go write on the board massive letters, and then the teacher would be like, oh,
that's so cool. Because what were you doing in the beginning? You were like figuring things out. You're just throwing things out there, failing forward, figuring out like if anything would work, and just trying to get your name out there, right?
It makes me think of this book that I read called The Toilet Paper Entrepreneur, where you like just do anything you possibly can just to succeed.
Yeah.
That's basically what you're doing. Like no matter what, you don't have a lot of resources and you just do what you need to do. So like, what other marketing kind of tactics? I know there's like guerrilla marketing.
Right?
Like, what other kind of like marketing tactics like online were you doing?
So yeah, I mean, that was like the ways that I was able to really kind of like pinch pennies, because I, in the beginning, before basically the investor came in, the partner, I spent majority of the money I got on getting a franchise, like, you know, and then I had to pay a monthly fee. It wasn't free to own this. Like, you, just like any franchise, you have to pay them to be part of the franchise. So I had budgeted out to make sure I had money to pay the franchise. So, you know, I was like, really trying to hold tight and do as many guerrilla things as I could that were basically free. Like, you know, printing out a few thousand flyers, which were really cheap paper, and then like going and sticking them on every single car in the entire campus. Like, that would be like literally like 2 days of work, and like it would be like thousands of flyers. I'd walk through Rowan like a few days later, and like, you know, people were like going crazy making sales. Like, they all like, it was working really well, but like, it's time. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was sitting there with my interns walking through these massive parking lots, like putting on like flyers and like, ridiculous.
It's just funny, I'm laughing over here because this is the same thing we did when we first started our business, right? It's crazy, it's so funny, man. We were putting up flyers, magnets on the cars. I was walking around the mall parking lot middle of the afternoon and putting little business card coupon things into the under the wipers of the windshields and stuff like that. All this crazy stuff. And it's just because I really didn't have like a formal in-depth marketing education. I didn't understand online marketing. There's no education for online marketing in college, really.
Definitely didn't learn that in college.
It's just old school marketing, you know?
That's exactly what it was. It was old school marketing. I mean, like, literally, I understood my demographic so well. I ended up, like, you know, getting certain merchandise made, like, that I would hand to college students, and it had my logo written all over it. Stuff like that. Like, you know what I mean? Just, like guerrilla tactics. I mean, ended up, like, once I ended up, like, saying, like, okay, we're making enough money, I can start spending money kind of thing. Like, I wasn't thinking, like, spend money to make money. It was more like, make money, then spend money. Like, I was maybe going backwards at it. I don't know. First attempt.
It's really funny, because when we first started our online business, we had no idea what paid ads were or how to do them. So we were trying to figure out every other little thing we could do besides paid ads. That was marketing and getting customers. So we would do like Craigslist ads for the listings. You know, we would do all the flyers in person. We had the stuff on the car. My business partner had like a whole poster printed on the back of his pickup truck. He had like a pickup truck with a lid on it. So it's just all this crazy stuff. You know, like, really, was all that necessary? And no, probably not. But it was part of the educational process, right? It was part of the learning and like kind of just like throwing things out there and just like you said, toilet paper entrepreneur, figuring it out, fail forward, go back, do what works, you know?
Yeah. And like, you almost like it's a humbling like thing that you have to go through in order to become the entrepreneur that has all this knowledge and that, you know, can do great paid ads on, you know, Google. You have to put in the hard work that it takes in order to get to that successful point, because you do all these things and you realize, you know what, like, it's not what I want to do anymore. I want to work smarter, not harder, right?
Yeah, absolutely. What was your first experience? Like, you started Dropship Lifestyle, but then, like, what happened after that? What was your experience like? What was the timeline of events that led from when you first started
the program and learning about it to like actually setting up a store and becoming successful? Like, how long did it take and stuff like that?
So I remember actually the day that I was like, you know what, I heard about DSL, and like, you know, I'm sitting there at this point in my life, like it's been like 6 months since I sold or got out of my other entrepreneur business, my franchise. And I'm like, okay, I'm looking for this passive income. The podcast comes, I'm reading 4-hour work week, you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I got all these ideas in my head of how I'm gonna get into it. And I look and DSL comes on board, and I know right away I'm in this funnel. And because I understand what's going on, I'm sitting there like, oh, $800 for this. There ain't no way I'm paying $100. I'm gonna wait like, you know, another 4 emails, and I guarantee I'll get 40% off or 50% off.
That's funny how you do that.
And like, I sat there and I waited and I got 50% off. I was like, I'm gonna wait for at least 50%. I will be happy with 50%. That's cool with me. And like, you know, I paid the $400 because like, you know, at that point I was like, okay, this is the value I'm willing.
When did you sign up for them? What year was this?
So this was June of what, 14?
Okay, because the price has gone up like
a lot more. Yeah, it's been, this is 14, yeah.
So it's interesting. That's okay. I mean, he's probably added a lot more value to it.
Yes. Yes, he definitely has. And like, since then, like, I still to this day reference all of the videos that like in the beginning I was watching. I at least once a year I would go through and like watch a majority of the videos, because it helps to refresh, keeps you on like on your toes. And then every year he's added more stuff anyway. So honestly, yes, like I waited because I'm just understanding the funnel in a sense. I was gonna go for it, like, but once I got in, it took me probably like, what happened is I hit analysis paralysis, like I think a lot of people do, and like I was over analyzing niches, blah blah blah, like, you know. And then like, once I started a niche, I wasn't positive if I liked the color palette, and like, you know, all these little things that like, you know, when you're starting out, you're like, this is gonna make me a millionaire or I'm gonna be broke. And like, you know, like I didn't realize that like that's not entirely true. Like, you know, like, so I ended up going with a niche, and yeah, it took me probably like 4 months to get launched. I had one brand, like, you know, because the niche I picked, of course, is like all through mass warehousing, and like, you know, actually really hard to get into. And like, you know, I'm trying to make friends with all the warehouses now. But yeah, it took me like 4 months to get into it and like started and like running ads and like converting sales. I remember the first time I got my first sale. I have a feeling that was gonna be another question coming up, so I'm like, I'm just going for it. Like, the first time I got my sale, like, I was laying in my bed, and I was like, it was like nighttime. I was like about to go to bed, and I look at my phone, and it made the cash register sound. And at this time, I had no idea what the hell the cha-ching meant, like, cause like it was my, I'm like,
what is this?
Is like,
a video game
I'm playing? Whoa! And like, I remember. Like, the sale came in, it wasn't even that much, it was like maybe a few $100s, but for me, like, I was like, I was living with people at the time, and it was kind of late, like maybe like 10:30 or something like that. People all had to work, like, you know, of course me too, like, you know, my girlfriend was over, like, you know, she has to work the next morning, everyone had to work, and I'm just like, everyone's in bed, and I'm just like, I hear it, and I instantly get out of my bed and start running around, like, oh, it's happening, like, you know, like, just a fury.
Someone was filming it, right?
No, but pure surge of energy, like, you know, like the happiest moment like I think I've like ever had, and like it was just something like that where I'm like, okay, I'm validated, like
all that hard work, yeah.
Something finally 4 months later, cool. Like,
so it took me 4 months to start, build, and finally see a sale.
Yeah, start, build, and see a sale. Yeah, which is, I feel like now that like I've done a few of these now, I'm like, holy crap, like, you can do this a lot faster.
Yeah.
Like, and like, I think with practice, it does get a lot faster for you. It really does. I mean, like, you know, you start to remove those barriers of like fear, like, you know, if this logo isn't right, no one's gonna buy from my site. Like, you know, so things start to move a little bit faster. You get the process of how to call suppliers, and like things get to become a little bit more liquid than like, you know, stagnant, like, you know, and like analysis paralysis. Yeah. So yeah,
it's, I mean, you've been through it all once, like what's stopping you from doing it again in another niche, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing that we've run into in doing that is that you have to learn a whole new industry, kind of, almost, right? You have to, like, it's all new suppliers, it's all new products, obviously, so you have to learn how the products work. So if you guys are thinking about starting a dropship store in a business, consider the niche that you're going to start in, right? Because maybe the niche is really complicated. Like, I'll just just throw one out there really quick, because this one's blown out, but drones are one of the most popular products these days. Very, very cool items. Everybody wants one. They're expensive. It definitely works with the dropship lifestyle niche criteria. The biggest reason you wouldn't want to do it, though, is because there's 50 people out there trying to sell the same thing right now online, maybe even 100 plus competitors.
Easy. Yeah.
And they're very complicated.
Yeah.
I mean, they're electronic items, so inherently there's a lot to do with them. You have to understand how they work. Yeah, and a lot of things could go wrong, right? A warranty, whatever, damage. So things like that you have to be careful with. But, you know, try to think about what the product is, what the industry is. Is this something that you're going to want to really get involved in and dive into? Because it's a bootstrapping process, right? We all have to figure out about the products, how they work. So we got to write the content. We got to go through and, like, do the social media stuff. We've got to rewrite the descriptions. There's so much effort that we have to put out to learn a new industry. But just be careful with the industry you get into. And for the people that are brand new to dropshipping that are listening to this podcast, I just want to make sure that you understand why we don't ever tell people our stores and why we don't tell people our exact niches. Because with dropshipping, the barrier for entry is very low.
Yeah.
You don't need a lot of money to invest, unlike other models like Amazon FBA, for instance, where you have to have $5,000, $10,000 or whatever to buy a bunch of products in bulk, ship them in, have them sold on Amazon, right? Here, you need maybe a couple hundred bucks to start a website. You know, you just call suppliers, right? You say, hey, would you be able to give me a wholesale account with you and dropship for me? And they say yes, or they say no. It's pretty simple.
And if you
if you say no, you call them back as many times as it takes to say yes. But once you get that account, you're in with them, right? You just list the products on your site. When you get that sale from all your marketing efforts, then you have them ship the product directly to your customer. It's so simple, but of course the deal is like, really anybody, if they really wanted to, could start another store in your niche. So we don't really get out there and tell people our exact store or anything like that. So just keep that in mind with dropshipping. If you're thinking about getting into it, it's one of those things where you can't be as open with people about it. It's not a business model where you're like, yeah, hey, you want to check out my store? I sell this, I sell that. You got to be careful, you know? So if that's not something you're willing to do, if you're not willing to be like a little bit secretive about it and still work a lot on something, it might not be right for you. But if you're willing to do the hard work and not, you know, throw it up all over the place like wallpaper and freaking put magnets all over your cars and stuff like that and tell all your friends and family about it, you know, it might be right for you.
So for the people that are listening, that they're thinking about dropshipping, what kind of obstacles did you run into and how did you overcome them? You said it took about 4 months to get started. So how did you, and even after, like, what were the obstacles that you ran into?
So the obstacles definitely were going to be what probably a lot of people are going to go through with dropshipping. I mean, like, but my personal obstacles were basically figuring out what niche, because that happens to be probably, it is, in my opinion, probably one of the hardest parts. I mean, like, you know, picking the, and you honestly, the thing is, like, for me, like, and a lot of people, you think, like, it's going to be, like, if you choose the wrong niche, you're going to be screwed. I mean, but the thing is, it's like, you can validate your niche within a short period of time and then just start over, in a sense. And, like, you know, once you keep doing this a few times, you can get a little bit better, faster, creating sites. I mean, it happens. It's not the end of the world if you fail. And, like, that's the thing. I mean, you're the only one that knows that you failed, because you're not telling people anyway. No one knows your site. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's all big mystery, because, I mean, obstacle, niche, definitely a niche. I mean, I overcame it because I ended up just continuing doing research, and then calling the suppliers, I realized, like, you know, it's viable. Like, you know, and there is a demand for it. I'd be watching, like, you know, I check YouTube, I would check basically keyword planners and trends, and it's my niche wasn't going anywhere. You know, it's just anything, it's growing. The hard part is with my niche in particular, it's another obstacle was, like, basically kind of continually staying up to date with the new product. Because I'm in an industry where they create new products and stuff like that. And, like, you know, not everything's stagnant, where you create it once and then, like, yeah, just throw it up there and you're good forever. So that was definitely, like, another thing that obstacle I'm just dealing with. And, like, you know, you just figure out how to work with it. Another thing was figuring out how to, I don't want to get too technical, but, like, basically, like, how to handle CSV files. So, yeah, I don't know. So, it basically, CSV is, like, how, like, some suppliers, they will send you an Excel file. It's a type of file. I don't know exactly what it means. It's an Excel spreadsheet. I mean, but, like, some suppliers will send you over this sheet, and it doesn't match the template you need it to be in. So they may send you over an Excel spreadsheet with 5,000 products on it, and it's completely just, it might as well just be like them just throwing, like, you know, a paint bucket on the ground, and you just like kind of like just having to make a piece of art out of it or something like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, that's kind of like, as ridiculous as it sounds, that's like kind of it, because like I've, so like having to figure out how to handle mass products and not spend way too long to track inventories and all those items have been a hurdle. And for me, I ended up writing a macro and kind of like working on that. And then like for a while I was doing it manual. Like it would take me 6 hours, and like that was just like a 6 hour, that would be my day. Like I'm just going to sit there and basically reorganize this entire file, make it proper, make sure all the margins are still correct, and then like kind of bulk upload again. So, you know, that was definitely...
You said something called a macro. What was that?
So macro is basically a function in Excel that basically you can record your keystrokes and your clicks, and it will automatically kind of like when you hit record, it will record it, and then you hit stop, and then you can hit play kind of thing, in a sense, and it will just go through your entire function on, like, yeah. So it's like... Yeah, it took me a little while to actually understand how to do that, and one of the people in the dropship partnership actually helped me out with that a little bit. So yeah,
Tyler, right?
Yeah, Tyler. Yeah, Tyler. So yeah, he's an Excel
on the podcast. He's a very smart dude.
Yeah, he's an Excel whiz in a sense.
Yeah, he's kind of like a web developer programmer too, right? He works with code a lot.
Yeah, he does.
So it's like way over my head.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, like basically handling inventory, stuff like that. Let's see, another hurdle basically was, I guess, getting over time management in a sense, handling, and then customer service. So, I mean, like, you don't realize getting into dropshipping that there is customer service. People will call you. Like, there's no, like, hiding behind the phones. Like, you know, it's, you have to handle customer support. Like, it is what it is. It's part of it. And for me, I started to figure out my own little loopholes on how to handle customer service the most efficiently, and coming up with like SOPs and basically like canned responses, which basically a canned response basically is if once you get an email in or a message in or even a phone call, I had canned responses for phone calls. Basically a canned response is they ask question A, here's answer to A. And like you just know already the answer, because like a lot of the questions happen to be relatively the same, like, you know, and like once you start getting the same questions, you know, you can add them to your FAQs, like your frequently asked questions on your website. You can start building that out. But regardless, people don't read sometimes and they still call. So like, yeah, I would use canned responses in a lot of my situations. So that was my solution to customer service. The good thing about like dropshipping in a sense with customer service, you can actually outsource once you get to a certain point and you're safe, you're feeling comfortable with your money and the bootstrapping isn't like, okay, I need this much money this month to at least break even. Like, you know what I mean? Because I'm spending $200 on ads, I need to make $200. That's in like $12 or $24, $29 on Shopify. Shopify is $29. So my cost of this month is $229. I have to make $220 net profit, in a sense.
It's good to know the numbers. You gotta know your numbers with dropshipping, guys. You gotta know your return on ad spend. You gotta know your conversion rate, obviously the profit, all that stuff. Now, I have a question for you. I know this is a tough question. Okay. A lot of people find it very sensitive, but since you started dropshipping, how much money have you made?
That is a tough question. Let's see.
Per month.
Per month. Okay, so net or gross?
Gross.
Gross. Okay, I'm going to tell you. Gross. Okay, I'm going to gross it up for you.
Maybe gross after ad spend.
Gross after ad spend. Okay. So I would say I am grossing probably around $5,800 a month.
Okay.
Gross.
What is the total revenue? What's the total sales, like, amount?
So total sales is like a bit, I don't know my numbers that well apparently.
5,000?
Five, yeah, like it would be
6,000?
Around the same ballpark, yeah.
I'm just trying to get the idea here, because a lot of dropshippers, when people first get into dropshipping, they think, oh yeah, I could do this and make like 50% margins or 60% margins, right?
Yeah,
cool. No,
Like, dropshipping is a low margin business. You have to have really high dollar amount sales to make enough profit to get by every month. So your goal is not to get to $5,000 in sales. Your goal, right, eventually is to 10x that so you can start seeing a full-time income, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's goal is that. Yeah. And it's okay to be where you're at. How many months has it been since you made your first sale?
I've been doing this for this store in particular that I'm talking about. It's probably been about 8 months, okay. 9 months.
That's pretty cool. I mean, dude, that's totally normal. It took us 3 years to get to the point where we were making. I literally my third year, I grossed 100K in sales, okay? And that means probably about 10 per month, right? Average. So first year was terrible. I think we did like 50K in sales, so that's like 5K per month, right? And then it was 75K in sales, and then it was 100, and then the fourth year it blew up, right? So there's this like upward curve you go into in any business, is you're just trying to break through that barrier of like getting customers, you're kind of breaking even, you're trying to figure out your marketing channels, you're trying to figure out your content plan and strategy and all that, and then all of a sudden there's like this tipping point I noticed with a lot of businesses where like you just hit this crazy spike. You see these referrals. You see Google starts giving you backlinks, or Google starts giving you organic listings. Your ads respond better. You have this good brand. People trust your brand more, right? So I could see you doing this within the next 6 to 8 months because of how much more you know about how to start dropping profitably as opposed to just learning it on your own.
Yeah.
I learned it on my own when I first started. I mean, Dropship Lifestyle is a really good program, right? But there's a lot missing at the end of it, I think. And there's like a continuation you need to take as like an online marketer. And there's a lot more education out there. We're formulating an online course at ecommerceparadise.com. Our idea is to help people beyond those stages, right? Because they don't really go into depth in a lot of the advanced stuff. Whereas if you were to take other online courses, they're only advanced. They're not beginner stuff. So there's like this like stage, this like level up portion where you like do Dropship Lifestyle. And then it's like next level stuff.
You get to a level and you're just like, okay, well,
now what?
Now what?
And it's like a video game. It's like Mario. It's like, yeah, I just beat that level. And then what do I do next?
Yeah,
like,
the next level.
And then you kind of get left out there. So there's so much good education online. What are some of your other sources of education that you've found a lot of value from online, like blogs or YouTube channels, anything like that? Like, one I can think of is Shopify.
Yeah, I definitely use Shopify quite a bit, and I use a lot of DSL content. I mean, like, honestly, I know you said not to use that, but, like...
Well, I mean, do it, but I'm just saying, like, beyond it, you know?
So, yeah, definitely Shopify. I find inspiration, though, from a lot of people. I mean, education basically becomes, like, you know, you go into forums, you talk to people, you see what kind of tips and tricks are going on. I mean, for the most part, like... YouTube, as sad as that sounds, but like, you know what you need to get better at. Like, so that's the thing. Like, you know, once you hit a certain point, it's like, I need to get better at this. You know how to go and search for it. And like, you know, that's kind of, I guess, how it works, I guess you could say. Like, you're not like questioning, like, what do I need to get better at? It's like, you clearly know, like, I need to get better at this. So how do I write content better? And I'm going to go find it. Like, you know, it's a tough thing because like, you're always trying to get better at everything. And that's the thing. I mean, being in a dropshipping business, you need to be pretty good at, you have to be fairly good at a lot of different skills. And that's I think what I like the most about it, because like, it's not just like you're just doing one thing. Like, you're a full stack like marketer. Like, you really are. Like, that's kind of your job, is you are a marketer. Like, you know, and you understand email flows, you understand how to write campaigns, you understand copy, you understand how to write ad copy, ads in general, like social media, how to write content. It's a whole gamut of things, and it's good though, because you can use these skills and other assets if you want. And like, you know, that's a thing that I think you can pull from DSL that I definitely enjoy a lot. And I mean, for me, like, I enjoy going into, like, I guess, learning more and more and more and more. And like, there is so much content out there that you can read. So I mean, I guess I don't have a certain resource in general. It's just more just Google. Like, I want to get better at this.
Google, guys, it's your best friend.
That's where we all start.
Yeah, I mean, start. Like, just Google.
How to make money online.
Yeah, exactly.
Google,
yeah, everything I use Google. So, how did you like? Okay, so we're all here in Chiang Mai, right? We're digital nomads. We're living this, like, you know, location independent lifestyle. We're all just like trying to make. We're all successful and trying to make it. and just like be able to travel around the world. So what was it for you that made you wanted to come to Chiang Mai? Was it like the idea of travel? Like what was it, or was it just like you wanted to come for the community and meet digital nomads?
Yeah, so Chiang Mai to me is the way I dreamt of it is exactly what it is here. I mean, like it's unreal actually. I thought of this place as the digital nomad Mecca, and holy crap, that literally is like the Mecca of digital nomads. Like, you know, I meet new people doing insanely amazing, inspiring things on a daily basis, and
like a religious culture.
it's quite incredible actually. I like it. It's really good. So I came out here off of Johnny's podcast, basically being like, you know, wow, this place sounds really good, and then like doing research and seeing more blogs, more vlogs, and like, okay, I'm gonna make this leap. And I realized that it's very budget friendly. So like, you know, even though I was making profit, like I wouldn't be able to quit my full time job that I was making salary, really good money, to do dropshipping full time in America. No shot. Right. I just wasn't there yet.
Even like most people that do dropshipping, if you're trying to live in the States, your expenses in any major city, Seattle, San Francisco, LA, New York, Chicago, Philly, Miami, whatever. Like $5,000-$6,000, you know, that's normal. Maybe four if you're really on a budget, but you have to get your own place. I mean, if you want your own place, that's what it's going to cost. If you want to live in a room in a house, you know, you can get away with like $700 or something, $800 for a room. But yeah, like everything costs more. Movie theaters, food in general, gas, everything.
Yeah, so my apartment here in Chiang Mai cost me $100 a month. My apartment in Philadelphia was $1,000 a month. I have tenfold saved money, and it's pretty nice. Yeah, I like it quite a bit.
I mean, everything else here is cheap too.
Yeah, I mean, my average meal cost is $1.50, maybe $1.50. I want to splurge. Like,
I know it's funny because like if we spend like $14 American on a meal, I'm just like, oh my god, that was just way too much money. I need to go back to like $1. This is, what did we do here? Why did we do this? It's just like, oh no, like we should be saving more money.
Back in the States, like my average dinner cost was like $12 for just me. Yeah. Average. And like, you know, if I had like my girlfriend over, it'd be like 20 easy. Like that was low. And I'm like, if we got sushi, it'd be like 27, and I'd be like, whoa, that's one meal. Okay. Back here, I'm like, okay, I've spent $2 on food. I've eaten really well. Like, I've had like 5 plates of something. Like, you know.
And you, my favorite part about it is, if you want to live a little bit nicer, more luxury,
so
you can, and it's still cheap. The nice restaurants are like, you know, $15, like Julia was saying.
Yeah,
a nice apartment is like $300-$400 a month. You know, as opposed to $1,000, $1,500, $2,000 a month.
Yeah. Let me clear. I was living with 3 other people in Philadelphia too. So like my $1,000 apartment, I was with 3 other people. So like, you know, I wasn't living alone. So like, you know, that just puts this like just how much money I'm really saving. I'm living alone right now too. So like, it's very nice. It's very nice.
So you're making enough money to get by in Chiang Mai and grow your business and connect. It's amazing.
I also wanted to know, when did you quit your job and move here and start working full time? Because you were working full time at your job, and when did you stop working full time and go full time with dropshipping?
So I remember that exact moment entirely. Like, I had this plan for like, okay, so I've been doing this since June of 14, and like literally like within like probably like 8 months, I realized like, okay, this is gonna be a goal of mine, is to get the Chiang Mai, basically. Like, this was a goal, mission now, you know? And I would say by 2015, it was April of 2015 where I basically went to my father, who was like, you know, he was the CEO kind of thing, and then like there was the upper management, like, you know, I was like a tier below the upper management, the marketing division, and I went to him right away, and like my other uncle who's involved, and I sat them both down together, and I was like, hey, like I have something heavy I'm about to tell you, because like the idea was that I was going to work with them all the way to the, like, you know, forever, basically. This was like, this was going to be my future. And it was like actually a really emotional time. Like, you know, it didn't go well. Let's just go that way. Like, it was not a good conversation. Like, you know, it wasn't like hugs and cries and stuff like that. Like, we'll miss you. It was not good. So after, I think everyone kind of cooled down a while, because like initially it was like really aggressive. Like, yeah, it was not positive. But after it kind of cooled down, like, you know, 2.5 months cooldown, like 3 months cooldown. Like so April, May, June, I quit my job in June. And so that was like, I gave them like a 3 month leeway, like, you know, cause I was a lot on my plate, whatever. And like, you know, by that time, it was a lot more like, for, like, good luck kind of thing. Not so much like in the beginning where it was a lot of heated tensions. I mean, we're Italian family, so like, you know, a lot of arms are moving and like, you know, a lot of heat.
I'm thinking like The Godfather or something. Yeah. Like everybody's pulling out the Uzis and shooting each other and shit. You know, I'm watching out.
A lot of intense emotions.
Okay, this could have gotten way crazier, but Robert is here now. So yeah. We know nothing that bad happened.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, for me, firing my bosses, like some people say, quitting my job was so easy, right? And it's like a huge weight that's lifted, but you had to kind of like tell your father and your uncle, and you like, it's like the family.
Yeah.
That's so hard. So how did you guys get over that, like that hump, you know? Like how did you guys come back together and like, are you guys okay now?
Oh, jeez. I thought you said no hard questions. Dang. Oh, jeez. Okay, so...
We were kidding.
So, even, like, okay, so basically the only one that kind of held on a little bit of the negative energy, I guess you could say, of the family was my father. Everyone else really sent me warm regards, and it was really actually nice. I mean, like, I remember going to my grandmother and like, you know, this God bless her. She is like an angel. Like, you know, I was born on her 50th birthday. So like every year we celebrate a birthday together. And like, you know, she's like, yeah, she's the matriarch of our family. Like she's boss. Like it's like, you know, number one. So like going to her, I was super nervous. I was like, oh my God, like if this is the reaction from my father and my uncle, like, okay. So I went to her and she's like, Rob, she gave me the best like hug, gave me like the best regards, like, you know, I was like, so I almost fell over kind of thing, like, you know, I was like really nervous talking to her, but getting over, like, basically, like, right now, like how many months I've been here, like three and a half, almost 4 months now, like, you know, during my birthday, which was December 1st, like that's like was the first time I had, I think, like a good conversation with my family, like my father and my mom kind of thing. But the thing is, they all turn tides. Like, you know, now everyone's like, okay, we support you, which is like, it's really good. So like, we kind of came over it by like just communication, like understanding, like this is what I'm trying to do. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, so they came around. Yeah, it was good. I mean, it was pretty emotional, like birthday phone call, because like, you know, we had a video call. My grandmother's on the phone. She's like, Rob, what is going on? What are you doing? Like, you know what I mean? Like, is this video? Like, she, you know, she's awesome though, like, you know, so she was loving it. And but it was, yeah, it's good to finally have everyone on board kind of thing. It was really intense, like, for a while there. Yeah, so
that is exactly, I did a YouTube video for that. It's like one of the 21 reasons, like, how to become successful is to stop trying to please other people. And the people that we try to please the most is our family. You know, my mom, my dad, they were both not supportive of this journey at all. You know, they still tell me to this day, why don't you go back to school and get your psychology degree? And I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys don't understand. Like, that's not who I am anymore. I'm a different person. I'm becoming my own person. That's what we do in our 20s, right? And even in our late 30s and our 40s, like we change and we grow in life. And I think that's like the best thing to do, is to evolve and to want to become, you know, more than just what you were supposed to be.
Yeah, and to go off that, I mean, like coming here has been like an explosion of inspiration, because like every day there is some type of meetup about someone giving a talk about something like amazing. Basically, like last week I learned about Kindle publishing, like just for fun, like, you know, why not? Like, I'll just go sit in that meetup, it's free, and like, you'll learn, get some knowledge, like, you know. And like the thing is, like here in Chiang Mai, like people, like everyone's just like, dude, you do drop shipping, that's awesome, like, you know, everyone's like super awesome about it, like no one's like, you know, grilling you, like, you know, no one's like deflating anyone's like, you know, ambitions. Everyone's like pumping you up, and like that's like, I think, something that's really special about this city in a sense. Like, you know, Chiang Mai is awesome as a city, but it's definitely the people here that make it like way, 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 way better. Like, honestly, like, we're just completely surrounded by a circle of amazing people, in a sense, and, like, I think that's super special.
Yeah, I think it's interesting how you can walk around Chiang Mai and meet people and say, I do dropshipping, and they know what you're talking about.
Oh, gosh.
Just that fact alone is really cool. Because if I said that to somebody in LA that I met, they'd be like, what? You drop your shipments? I mean, what is dropshipping? I don't know what that is, you know?
People still ask me how vacation's going. Like, you know, they just don't understand that, like, what dropshipping is in general. Like, even if I, like, if I don't tell them exactly what it is, they're like, so are you enjoying your vacation, Rob? Like, no, we're not here for vacation. I'm doing e-commerce. Okay, e-commerce. I've simplified the word to e-commerce now because people understand, like, oh, so you're like Amazon. I'm like,
yes.
After, you know.
Whatever they know, that's what it is, you know? I mean, it's the same thing for any business model. If you were to tell them, I do affiliate marketing, they'd be like, huh, what's affiliate marketing?
That's true.
So, I mean, hey, that's okay. The world is changing.
Yeah.
This stuff is becoming more and more popular. And I'm not just saying that because I'm in Chiang Mai and everybody out here is doing it, but it's true. And Amazon's growing, right? And Google's growing and YouTube is growing. Live video is becoming the next new thing, right? It's amazing. Technology, as technology improves, as the availability for Wi-Fi improves, as the availability for electricity improves, and as these little devices we hold in our hand that I'm actually using to record a podcast right now improve, more people will be able to buy and consume, so more people will be able to sell and create. It's just amazing. The world we're living in is really evolving. To wrap up this podcast, Rob, please give our audience your 3 to 5 best tips for starting a dropship or e-commerce business.
Okay, step number one, do it. Step number two, don't overthink your niche. Step number three, definitely educate yourself. Do not like, there's no reason to waste time. Get a course, some type of knowledge, any knowledge, whatever you want to choose. Anton's method, I would, you know, obviously support because I've taken it. I'm here because of it. So, but those are definitely my three. Definitely just do it. Don't overthink the niche and like the kind of small details you can go with that. And number three is to educate yourself before just spinning your wheels in a sense.
And if I could add something to that, join a community. Other people doing it, right? Because that's helped me so much. Like, I was so lonely back in LA trying to do dropshipping.
Well, that honestly is a big part of the DSL community. I mean, like, it's a community. I say community, it's like intuitive now. Like, you know, it's like instinctual for me to say DSL community because it's not just DSL. There's the community part of it, which the forums, like, you know, when you're first getting involved, like, I relied a lot on those forums and people are overly helpful in there. It's crazy. And you don't feel crazy talking about it because like everyone's trying to get to the same point, like, you know, grow and educate themselves. And, you know, you're still not dropping what your website name is because even on there, you're still not doing it. But like, you know, the idea is like you're sharing knowledge and like knowledge is power. And like, you know, the more you can consume, the better you'll be. And it's getting inside a community like DSL is like not only you're educating yourself with the actual education aspect of it, but there's the community aspect as well where you can actually join masterminds, you know, you can get involved with a lot of things that maybe aren't so easy wherever you're from.
That's right, I agree. And not only joining the online groups, but also creating an in-person meetup, I think really helps too, because even though I have been part of mastermind groups and they've been online and that's great, but it's the in-person connection that I strive for and I love so much because it's something about just talking to people in person and connecting on that level and laughing and sharing conversations that really makes us happy. And there's something like deep down inside our hearts that it just makes us happy as human beings. And being on an e-commerce entrepreneurship journey can be lonely at times. And so to get that connection with people, get out there, create a meetup group, find a meetup group, whatever. If it's not around dropshipping, make it around e-commerce, you know?
And it's really motivational too. Like, you know, I remember when we got into this partnership, like, or when I, like, basically when I got into a mastermind group, it really kind of keeps you motivated. Like, you know, as an entrepreneur, sometimes you can get deflated a little bit. I mean, like, it happens. We all have a little bit of lows. I mean, like, I don't think anyone can say, like, I'm constantly, like, running on, like, full energy, like, you know, nonstop, like, you know, always going. Like, everyone goes down and slumps a little bit. I mean, and, like, having a community around you, like a mastermind physically, can really keep you motivated, like, keep your goals going, keep you going forward, even if you are on a, you know, a sluggish area of your life or something like that, if you hit a slump. I mean, like, so, yeah, the motivation keeps you going. I mean, I know that's definitely helped me a lot since coming here, too.
Yeah, guys, joining the community, that is a huge thing. So if you guys are into dropshipping, or you're thinking about going into dropshipping, or maybe you're doing any kind of thing online, Chiang Mai is the place to be. And like everything we were talking about, the food, the people, the Thai people are very welcoming. As long as you're respectful and polite and have a smile on your face, they would love to have you in their country. That's the cool part of it. And you know, if you can just get here for even maybe just like a few months, you know, even just 1 month, just to see what the culture is like. I mean, you have to spend a lot of money to get here, right? So you better stay like a month or two. So you know, just to come out here and just connect with people, you're immediately like plugged in, right? Immediately plugged into the community.
People say this is a plug and play type city. Like you can just come in here, find an apartment very quickly, and then like instantly you're connected into the hub of like basically any community you want to be part of. Yeah.
I would say if you're going to come out here, get on Facebook and look at the groups, because yes, there's so many great Chiang Mai Facebook groups, Chiang Mai Digital Nomads, Chiang Mai Coffee Club, Digital Nomad Coffee Club, Digital Nomadness is huge now. So all these groups, they schedule these live events, these talks, where you can go and watch a talk and then meet other digital nomads. You get to know so many people at each event, and you're bound to make a few friends.
And you guys have a Facebook, I'm sure. Anybody that's listening has a Facebook. So join the groups. You don't have to live in Chiang Mai in order to join the group. You don't have to live here. You can just be thinking about it and dreaming about it and connecting with people. You can connect with me, you can connect with Trevor, you can connect with Rob. We're all on Facebook. We're all in these groups, and you know, just start to, you know, be a part of it before you even get here. And then once you get here, it's just like boom. Like if you're a newbie, like we love new people. Like new people is just like, oh, new blood. You're so excited to be here. Yes. Give me some of that excitement. So you know, I guess we can end the podcast here. You want to say some more words?
I just like really quick say, you guys can join the e-commerce paradise Facebook group. And we're gonna do some live events eventually. I got to throw a plug in there for us. I mean, come on, you know, we're repping all these other people's stuff. Like, let's talk about e-commerce paradise a little bit. So this podcast, of course, is about bringing to light all the cool things that are happening around the world, but specifically where we are right now, which is Chiang Mai, Thailand, and all the people that are here doing some sort of e-commerce, which is mostly every single online business is some sort of e-commerce, right? And not just that, but also living a happy life. That's paradise, right? We all want to be happy. What is happiness? Well, it's what you make it, but it's health, it's wealth, right? And it's travel, and it's all these things combined. So that's kind of what we're trying to bring together with this podcast. So thank you so much, Robert, for being on the podcast. And would you like to say something?
Yeah, and if you guys liked this podcast, you know, leave us a comment, you know, like, share with your friends. We would love to, you know, or love to get into conversations with you guys. And if you are interested in dropshipping, you can check out ecommerceparadise.com/free-dropship-course, and you guys can see what we do and how we make money.
Thanks for being on the podcast, Robert.
Thank you very much, both of you. It was a very good conversation, very fun, lots of laughs, and not too much pressure. So, yeah, sweet. Thanks. All right, guys.
Take care, guys.
Thank you.